John Kirby joins us from Jayhawk Slant. He's knee-deep into KU football, and we're excited for the college football season that's just around the corner. We've been talking Big 12 football on this show for a couple of weeks. This conference, and first of all, welcome, John. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. How you doing?
We're doing well, and I think the story going into this season is just how up for grabs the Big 12 appears to be. We're not talking one, two, or three challengers. It feels like there's multiple teams that go into the season thinking they got a shot.
Yeah, you know, we do a podcast, and I had Phil Steele on. I always like Phil. I think he's pretty knowledgeable. He said he's got nine teams that he thinks could come out of the Big 12 somehow, some way, among the top two. I mean, I thought that was a little much, but you're right. I think that goes to show you that, you know, this thing's wide open, and there's going to be some key games where it comes down middle into the season that's probably going to factor in how it all plays out.
So last year, obviously, it was Jason Bean as the backup to Jalen Daniels. He played a lot, and he played really well. He's no longer there, of course. So how big is the drop-off, do you think, between Jason Bean and Cole Ballard or whoever will end up kind of being that backup long-term? But also, how much better is the overall roster that maybe that won't make as big of a difference if Jalen can't play the whole season?
Well, the overall roster is really good. I mean, now they are senior heavy. Okay. Now, after this season, we're going to have to talk about kind of a little bit of an overhaul of what they're going to have to do. Because, I mean, they've got a lot of experience, a lot of snaps, a lot of upperclassmen who are back. So, you know, when you guys talk about Jason Bean, man, what a luxury they've had with him. And I've said all summer long, this season comes down to one thing, and that's the health of Jalen Daniels. And guys, the thing is, Kansas fans have got to hope that at this point they're not talking about the backup quarterback this season. All right, I mean, Jalen Daniels has got to stay healthy because there is no Jason Bean to fall back on. I mean, you know, when he came to Kansas, he had some D1 experience at North Texas, and he had a skill set. You know, he was a 10-4-5, 10-5 guy in the 100 in high school. He had a skill set that fit into what they did. So when Jalen Daniels went out, Jason Bean kind of came in, and they didn't change the offense a lot for him. There were very few teams in the country that had that luxury of having someone like Bean. Now, if Jalen Daniels gets hurt, this year's different, because there is no Bean, and I don't know that Ballard and Marshall can step up and play like Bean did. Listen, when they played K-State last year, they had a great game plan. They had K-State on their heels all game long, okay? They ran option. They had Cole Ballard. They had him out in some QB draws, but they couldn't do really what they wanted to do. They kind of protected Cole Ballard in the scheme they had that game against Kansas State. He was a game manager. You know, he had a couple bad plays. So I've heard the battle between Cole Ballard and Isaiah Marshall for that backup spot is pretty tight. I hear the edge right now is with Cole Ballard just because he's got a year of experience in their system.
Talking to KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. Jayhawks open the season next Thursday against Lindenwood. I got them winning that game. How important is that second game at Illinois? Now, Illinois is not a preseason ranked team. We're not really sure what Illinois is going to do, but how important is it for Kansas to go to Champaign and play really well in that game and kind of establish something? Am I barking up a wrong tree? It just feels to me like that game's pretty consequential.
No, you're not barking up the wrong tree. I mean, I have been saying this all summer, okay? And there's some pretty heavy confidence on the Kansas fan base that, hey, KU's just going to walk into Illinois and beat them without breaking much of a sweat. That really is the feel, because I've even gone on our message board at times and said, guys, I think this is a game you got to be really careful on, okay? Kansas took it to them, built a big lead, just kind of coasted to a pretty easy victory last year. Okay, now you're turning around. You're going on a revenge game. You're on the road. You're playing a Big Ten opponent at their place in the evening. I'm just telling you, I think that game's going to be a challenge. And maybe I'm wrong, but this just isn't a cakewalk. And I've gotten a sense from people that they look what happened last year. And, I mean, KU blew them out of the water and then just kind of let off the gas a little bit. And, I mean, Illinois is going to be ready for that football game.
I was going to ask just because of, you know, you mentioned the timeline and a lot of seniors this year, and it may be a little bit of an overhaul next year. Can you tell us about some of the talented freshmen on this team and also just how much better? It was already good, but how much better Lance Leipold's recruiting has gotten over the last couple of years?
Yeah, this class is really good, okay, the class that just came in. And now here's the thing, though. We may not be able to see how talented some of these guys are, okay? I've heard some of them have looked good in fall camp. They just got on campus 2 months ago. But I've heard some of them have looked good in fall camp. But the problem is, guys, you're talking about a team that is returning 85, 90% of their starters. You're talking about a team that's basically going to start a bunch of seniors. So, you know, you may have some guys on the O-line who look good. They're just buried right now because there's so many guys returning. You might have a young receiver who looks good, but Kansas returns their top five receivers. You might have a running back who looks good, but they return their top three running backs. You see where I'm going with this? I mean, there are kids who are in the program that have talent and have ability, but I don't know if some of them are going to get on the 2D just because of what's returning.
Interesting stuff from John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. We're talking KU football. With the new Big 12 and all the new teams that have come in the past couple years, certainly no more balanced schedule. And the schedule, I'm caught up in them because they mean a lot. And there are some ranked teams in the Big 12 going into this season. Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Kansas. But on KU's schedule is only one of those, and that's Kansas State. This is a pretty favorable schedule to have a pretty monumental season.
It is. There is no doubt that the schedule gods worked out in their favor on this one. I mean, they dodged some tough games. I mean, when you look up and down the schedule, you know, at West Virginia and at Kansas State, I mean, those are the two games that you circle right now and say, God, if there's any way you can win one of those two or something, I mean, you could seriously be looking down and an 11-1 or a 10-2 type. Now, there's some tricky games on there. You don't know what TCU is going to bring to Lawrence. And, you know, when you go on the road to somewhere like BYU, that's kind of a, you know, that's a tricky place to play. Then you've got the game against Iowa State. You know, I heard the other day from some people inside KU that they get calls and emails, and the people at Arrowhead Stadium, they've been getting them for 3 weeks from Iowa State fans saying, hey, when can we buy tickets? So there's going to be a lot of Iowa State people at that game in Arrowhead. But when you look down the schedule, I think the two games that you sit here and say, I don't know that Kansas will be favored, and that's at West Virginia and at Kansas State, and everything else from there, I mean, there's a good chance they're favored to win all those other games.
Can you tell us just there's so many good players on this team. You've talked about it. Is there anyone returning who can find even another level than what they've done in the past? Is there anyone who hasn't quite maybe reached their ceiling yet that we can look for that this year?
Yeah, there's a few, and I've got to start with Jalen Daniels. I mean, this is a guy, you know, not long ago, people were talking about him in the Heisman race, okay? The problem is he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. So when you talk about a guy with a ceiling or someone that hasn't shown what he can do, we want to see what Jalen Daniels can do if he can stay healthy for an entire year, because I think he's a pretty special player. I mean, I've seen a lot of lists that a lot of people have him in the top 10 quarterbacks in the country and definitely among the top quarterbacks in the Big 12. So to me, that's the key, is can he stay healthy? And then if he does, I think, Bob and Jeff, I think that we're going to see what he can do for a whole season, because we haven't seen that yet. Kansas has, I'll tell you, one of the deepest positions they've got on the team. Their defensive tackles, they go about six deep. And last year, they rotated guys and kept them fresh. And that was one of the big things that I think that people haven't talked about from last year's team. Kansas's defense went from 12th in total defense to 4th in the Big 12 last year. That is the reason that they were successful last year. We always know Kansas can score points. We didn't know if they could stop anybody. Last year, they got off the field more. And one of the reasons was, they have some guys who can rotate on the inside. They had five guys who played 150 more or more snaps on the interior. a lot of those guys are back, and some of these young kids have looked good in camp. I mean, they're going to go six defensive tackles deep. So, I mean, that is something to watch through the season, because I think they're going to be able to hold up on the defensive line.
Talking to KU football with John Kirby from Jayhawk Slant. So I got to ask you about this season, where the home games are going to be played at Arrowhead Stadium, and then the unbelievable project that's going on campus at KU for the new football stadium there, $400 million. I've been around a long time. I'm not sure I ever thought we'd get to this day where Kansas was investing like this in football. I've always thought KU was a sleeping giant. Seems to be waking up. Tell us about playing this season at Arrowhead and then the future of Kansas football in that new facility in Lawrence.
Yeah, you know, the first two games are at Children's Mercy Park. So I think that's going to be a great atmosphere. It's kind of a smaller stadium, a little bit more enclosed. Everybody's right on top of the field. And there's only, what, 18,500 or 19,000 seats that are going to be there. So your season ticket holders are going to take up most of that. And then I've heard there's, you know, going to be a smaller allotment for students to get in. Those first two games will be sold out, but I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and it's going to be loud just because I think it's going to be a packed stadium in the way that that thing's built. Then when you go to Arrowhead, you know, the question is going to be, can you capture more KU fans in Kansas City that maybe didn't get to Lawrence for games, but with the game being in Kansas City, they say, hey, we're going to go over to Arrowhead? Because I tell you this right now, there are KU fans who don't have season tickets to KU football games, but they have season tickets to the Chiefs. Okay, so it'll be interesting just to see what they can draw there. And then obviously with the facilities coming in, guys, I mean, it's $450 million right now. And when I'm around there, you know, I'll look up at the stadium, and you can just see the progress coming in. And the other day we were in the indoor for media day. I mean, you know, that indoor facility, it's very nice. They just built that not too long ago. So when you take the renovation they're doing with Anderson Family Football Complex and then what they're doing with the indoor and then what they're doing in the booth, I mean, there's not going to be much left to fix. I mean, everything's going to be looking pretty good.
And I can't let you go without asking you about my personal favorite Kansas player, and that's running back Devin Neal. I love watching him play. I think he's primed to have just an incredible season. I think he's going to go to the NFL and be great. Am I wrong about any of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's a talented guy. I thought the one thing last year, I've always said I wondered about Devin's top-end speed. But last year, I've been meaning to ask him about this, but he played faster last year. And when he hit some holes and some creases, he got past outside linebackers and safeties and got into open space for some nice runs. So, yeah, he's got everything. I mean, he's strong. And I'll tell you, Bob, one of the things that helps Devin Neal, you know, another guy, he's been banged up here and there the last couple of years because they end up relying on him so much. A healthy Daniel Hyshaw behind him, I think, makes Devin Neal better because he takes some of those bumps and bruises away from him later in the season with some of the carries. So, yeah, hey, Devin Neal, listen, he's got a chance to leave out of Kansas in the record book. So, I mean, when he's all said and done, he could be the leading rusher in KU football history.
All right, we really appreciate it. Lots of information to digest. John, thank you so much. We'll talk to you as the season unfolds.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on.